So welcome to the show, Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max, WSJU Radio, St. John's University. We are officially live here with the one and only, the Drama King, DJ K Slay. DJ K Slay, we are live, like I said before. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. I can't complain. You know, just staying busy, staying focused, you know?
Yeah. Yep. I know you put out an amazing EP album. You're calling it an EP or an album? Because everyone has a different term for it nowadays.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it was an EP.
Okay.
Because, you know, my albums always consist of 18 records at the least, you know? So this was like an EP, and it was actually my second EP of the year, you know?
Being Living Legend.
People attention spans are a lot shorter now, you know, with so much going on in the universe. I just decided to break it up so they could really get in tune and listen to it, opposed to giving you 20, 21 records, you know, and you got to come back and listen here and there. I just, nice, short, sweet, to the point, you know?
Yeah. And the thing I love about you is that you always keep it real. At the end of the day, you do support the new artists. You have no problem with them living how they live and getting their money. But at the end of the day, you keep it real and authentic with the MCs. And that's what I'm all about.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't ever forget about the original art form that this whole culture derived from. And, you know, as the younger brothers come in and they're not being educated on why they're having this great opportunity to make all the money and be successful, somebody got to represent for the original art form. And a lot of people look like they don't want to do it because they want to be outdated and shit like that. And I do not care, you know. And the original art form, and we just need to educate the young brothers so they can pay homage to why they are making the money they make it and doing the great things that they're doing. Like, you know, we embrace them. I just need the OGs in the music game to be embraced as well. That's all.
Do you feel as though there's a lot of artists out there right now that just don't embrace the older artists?
It's a whole lot of them. I mean, just think, when do you see them bring any of them out on stage?
Yeah.
I'm not even saying to perform, just bring them out for acknowledgement and pay homage to them, you know? You don't see it.
Yeah.
I mean, in no area, you don't see them doing that.
You don't. And
I think it's just it's a little selfishness, but again, you can't blame somebody that doesn't know. If they really don't know, so they need to be educated on it. That's all.
What's crazy about it is when I interview some of these new artists, they always tell me their major inspirations, and it's always a lyrical artist, but they don't sound like it, and they never acknowledge them in their music or bring them out on stage, as you said.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of they following the trend that's going to get them to the money. And, you know, everybody's not in this game for the love of the culture. Some of them is just a money grab. And if the money dries up or something happens, they're not going to continue to rap. You know, they're going to go back to do whatever they was doing or find something else to do. I mean, no, I know it's about survival, but with me, it's a little more personal. Like, I really love the culture because I was born into this culture. You know, like, culture's a way of life, you know? So this was my way of life as a kid coming up. And the things that people are being compensated for now wasn't no compensation back then. It was just, this was my few hours escape from the poverty that we was growing up into, you know? So I just need them to understand that this is a gift, and along with the gift, it should be homage, and it should also be consequential thinking, because as fast as you're getting it, it could be taken away.
Yep.
There's a lot of different situations going on in the world right now, and it's just, we're losing it again. We're losing it. That's why I felt like rolling 50 deep, you know, doing that song, was so necessary. So yeah, you never heard of this individual, let me put him next to Benny the Butcher. You never heard of this individual, let me put him next to Dave East. You understand? Like, it was just like a collaboration of great lyricists from now all the way to the beginning with Melly Mel and Grandmaster Caz, you know?
Yeah. So that was a lot of legends on there. 50, yeah. 50. I don't think anyone's ever done that.
No, on the record, one on one record, same beat, end the video. No. Hasn't been done. No. You know? And I did two songs before. One was Rolling 25 Deep Part 1, Then I did Roller 25 Deep Part 2, but those are just joints with no video. This one, I decided to give them a visual because, you know, with the internet now, people want to see, you know, it to believe it. Like, you could hear it is one thing, but when you see the artist, you know, it's more believable. And, people love the joint, man.
Yeah, I love it because I'm into those tracks. I had DJ Drewski on my show a few months ago, and I said to him, why don't people like those tracks? And I gave him the example of Firewater by Fat Joe with Pun and Raekwon on the track. And I think Armageddon was on there as well. And I said, why don't the kids like that anymore, where they're just going bar for bar and people can actually recite the lyrics from it and see who had the best bars and the punchlines on there? And he's like, that's more for us. The little kids don't like it. They like the dances and all that stuff. And it's just, it really just makes me angry because it's like, where's the culture going? This, like, hip hop, that's hip hop to me, is the bars and the punchlines.
Yeah, a lot of what's going on right now, I call it fun hop, you know? Because, no, at the end of the day,
it is.
For the fun hop, and it's not even on a disrespectful note, but like you said, the dancing and all of that's having fun. And that's what hip hop was about, having fun. But I'm saying it's two different sounds. And I think somewhere down the line, they have to separate and categorize this music. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So therefore, we won't have. What's the kid name? The old town road kid, Nas.
Oh, Lil Nas X. Oh, he should take Nas out of his name too.
Right. So we won't have Lil Nas X, right? In the same category in a war show as Nas. Now, what I'm trying to say is Lil Nas X, that's his name, right? Lil Nas X.
Yeah, Lil Nas X.
Yeah. Dope song, it went viral, people loved it, you know, it did for what it had to do, but that doesn't equate to the decades that Nas has put into the hip hop culture to be in the same category in an award show. So I think it needs to just be, you know, separated and categorized. You know what I'm saying? You got conscious hip hop, you got fun hip hop, you got trap, you know what I'm saying? You got lyrical, like, you know, just have different situations so everybody has a fair shot of winning.
Yeah, I think you definitely showcased the real hip hop on that song with the 50 MCs. I mean, like I said, I think some of the best verses on there, of course, I like Dave East's delivery on that. Something about Dave that I always compliment is that he has a delivery that not too many MCs have in this game.
Yeah, now Dave is nice, man. He's been nice. You know, he's a beast. And no matter what beat you give him, like, I've never gave him a beat, and we've done at least 50, no exaggeration, but he did about 50 verses for me through time. He's never said, I don't like that beat, or I can't rap to that beat, or give me something else. Whatever you give him, put in front of him, he's going to go to it. That's simple.
Yeah. Another rapper who's starting to gain a little bit of attention than he used to is Ransom. He's really starting to make some noise out here.
No, Ran's been dope, man.
Yeah, that's what I meant. He's just starting, even though he's been out here.
Yeah, 18, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's been dope, you know? But it seems like Benny the Butcher and Conway and them, right? Kind of gave a new spark to lyrical artists. Now, it's been a whole lot of lyrical artists. I'm not saying nobody else was a lyrical because you know how these weirdos do on the internet.
So yeah.
What I'm saying is the way they came in and this year in particular, their impact made people open their ears a little more to the other brothers who's doing that thing. And definitely, Ransom is one of them.
Yep.
In his album, I don't know if you heard the album with all the theme.
The horror movies and stuff. Yeah, I tuned into that.
That shit is incredible. Yep. And the thing that's so crazy, like J.D. Revenge, you know, The Shining. These are movies I watched from J.D.'s Revenge to when I was younger to, you know, The Shining and all that. I don't even know what made him think of doing that shit. Candyman.
Yeah, he had the Candyman coat on there. Yep.
Yeah. All them joints is mean, you know. Yeah. It's like a nice little surge of lyricists getting their props right now. And, you know, I'm feeling this. It's about balance. There's nothing wrong with the young kids doing what they're doing, but we just need balance. We want to hear balance. That's it.
That's exactly what we need. Then when I sit down with a younger artist, sometimes they're like, well, it is balanced. And I don't see that anywhere, because when I turn on the radio, not your show, I hear the real hip hop on your show, but other shows, I mean, we can go on, I never hear it.
But and it's out there. When you're saying the other younger kids, I don't think they even know what balance is, you know?
Yeah. You're right. I don't think they do.
I don't think they know. Like, so they might think balance to them is, you know, a trap artist from 5 years ago to now. That's balance to them. Because they don't really know our music. And they probably don't even understand it, to be exact. And it's weird because it's more comprehensible, but to a degree, it's almost like, I know a lot of young dudes be high. You understand what I'm saying? Drugs. Yeah. And I guess hearing a lyrical brother might make them feel like you're forcing them to go to school while they high. You understand
what I'm saying? Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like, you know, like the, it might, but when you're hearing that slow, mellow, bounce, singing, melodic shit, it's like going along with the drug of your choice. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's the only way I could try to understand why they don't like lyrical artists, and especially if the lyrical artist is one who educates in his music as well.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you want to hear that? He got something to say. Not everybody that's lyrical has something to say, but I'm saying for the ones that do, why wouldn't you want to manifest that knowledge? I don't get it. You know?
Something I don't like about the trap music is the beats. The beats, they're just, it all sounds the same after a while. Boom bap, they vary. You always have different type. You have a slow boom bap. You have an up-tempo one. It's always different. You never know what you're going to get. With the trap, it's the same hats you're hearing. That's why I'm not too big on the trap beats.
Yeah, I mean, it's like back in the days, and I could say up till the early 2000s, it's always been taboo to be a biter.
Yep.
And if an artist in the 90s had got a record done by Pete Rock and it was a hit, the next artist might want that Pete Rock track too, but he's not going to do that. He's going to go to Premier. And the next one is going to go to Buck Wild. And the next artist might go to the Hit Squad, because you did not want to emulate what somebody else was doing because you were biting. Like, you didn't want nobody to go, oh, yo, he's biting off of so-and-so shit. Like, you don't want to do that. So nowadays, if a drummer boy gets a hit with an artist, the whole industry is running to drummer boy. And they not only just go on to him because he can do all different beats, they want a beat that sounds just like the last artist who had the hit. I might say just tweak it a little bit so they can't say. And if you go to a club for about a whole hour, every record that's playing from all the artists got the same tempo and damn near sounds the same. The beat. I don't get it. Like, I really don't get it. So what you were saying is really true. It's like all the beats that's coming out now are sounding the same, because once the artists get a hit, everybody's running straight to that same producer.
Yeah, I don't mean to sound like an old man, as people call me a young old man, but I don't get why the young kids are attracted to the trap beats, because when I play a record like Boom Bap on my show, or I play it for someone in a room, that knocks more than a trap beat to me. It's just harder.
I just think there is a different now, you know? It definitely ain't got nothing to do with the music. It's just a sign of the times, you know? Everything changed. And like I said on the intro of my album, and I respect that. I just don't like when people try to rewrite history, but it's always going to be a change in sound and the way things are being done, but that don't mean you can eliminate where it came from. You know, mm-hmm. I remember early on when we was starting to break dance in the project and bring the equipment out and cut the break beats, and the older dudes used to be like, yo, turn that shit down, or we gonna get the kick in y'all ass. Like, they really didn't understand it, because there was a, you know, crazy. The disco era was out back then, and there John Travolta. Like, you had to know how to dance. So this new dance with people going on the floor was like, man, you better get up off that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they did not understand it. So that's why I'm kind of open-minded to, you know, and then I remember people being like, yo, man, stop messing up the record, man, with all that cutting, scratching. Like, this is the, like, they didn't understand in the beginning. So I've been through that hell. So that's why I'm more to just trying to educate the younger brothers than chastising them, because I know what it's like to be onto something that you feel is the best thing in the world, and you have a whole older generation, you know what I'm saying, pounding down on you about it because they don't understand it and they don't like it, you know?
Yeah. What's crazy is I was watching House Party the other day, and I was saying, what if we expose the younger kids to the 80s hip-hop? I think they would just completely think that's a foreign language, how different that sound was.
They might try to commit suicide. You know? We couldn't deal with that. We couldn't deal with that. You know? I think it's so far off from back then. The closest we could probably get them to vibe with is maybe possible. It's like, you know, 50 Cent, Jay-Z, you know, Jada Kissing them, you know, Rough Riders, Lock, Sheet, Hoochin' them, like those, you know, once you dip into the 90s, it's over. Anybody that spilled over into the 2000s is a little more tolerable to them. Mm-hmm. But after a while, they even not going to want to hear too much of that. It's just different, you know?
I'll tell you this, I was surprised when I moved into college my freshman year, because I grew up in a black neighborhood, so I was listening to like 90s hip-hop, 80s hip-hop, so I found out I was dorming with six white lacrosse players. I wasn't happy about it. I was like, I'm going to have to be dorming with these prep kids now. But I was able to basically show them what I listened to, and I had them listening to Kool G Rap, digging in the crates, and they liked it. And they were playing it at their parties when they'd have people over. They're playing the music, and I was surprised, and they loved it.
That's dope. I mean, some people's minds is going to be open to absorb what's put in front of them. And I think all of them would if they give it a chance. But there's a lot of things people just, when you stuck on what you stuck on, that's it. You ain't really trying to allow anything else new into your cipher unless it's coming through somebody you really love. Like, say if one of them was dating a female that was really into the real hip hop and this and that and third, and she was playing it, they might act like they like the shit then, and might even after a while hearing it so much, been, you know, begin to adapt to it. But other than that, just having to hear it because you're around one of your friends or whatever, they're gonna be like, yo, man, cut that off, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want to hear that, you know? And it is what it is.
Yeah. It is what it is. Just another theme on the album that you addressed is the racism that goes on in this country. I think it was important for you to speak on that. And especially I try to explain it to my white friends, you know, put yourself in their shoes. How would you react? Like you said on the album, if your family members and friends were killed.
Yeah. And you know, the thing that bothers me about the racists of white people or the ones that don't understand is that when they say all lives matter, now, all lives do matter. We know that. But white, Caucasian, Indian brothers and sisters are not getting murdered at traffic stops.
Yep.
It's not getting murdered because they opened the door at their apartment. Is not getting murdered for jogging. It's not, it's like, it's not happening to them. It's happening to us. So we're not saying all lives don't matter. We're saying black lives don't matter because what's happening to us. We know all lives matter, but we need help resolving our issue. help us.
Yeah.
You see, it's not happening to y'all. Help us. We know all. How are you going to say all lives don't? We know that already. Black Lives Matter because all the injustices that's going on in America right now, today, against our people. And before, the racists could argue with it. You can't argue it no more because the camera phones was probably put on to fuck us over and the shit backfired. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But all it did is expose all the beatings and the killings and the shootings that racists and the crooked police have done us. So it's like, I don't really understand why people can't understand when people say that. And then if you want to get technical, more technical, when people go, this is their favorite line. Oh, black people kill black people more than y'all need to focus on black on black crime. There's no such thing as black on black crime. Every race has murders within itself. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
But black people do kill each other, like white people kill each other and black people kill each other. It happened, but the only difference is, see, if I kill one of my friends or two of them, when they catch me, they're going to throw my black ass under the cell, and I'm not coming home for 25 plus years if I do come home. When y'all do it on videotape, y'all fucking get arrested, come right out, right up from the street, and beat the case. Nothing happens. So nothing happens. So like, y'all can kill us and nothing happens. But if we do it to each other, you going under the cell. So this is the whole problem. It's the injustices. It's about equality. If everything was equal, then it wouldn't be no argument. But every day when you, I mean, and it's not exaggeration, every day you see some bullshit, and after a while, it pisses you off. People are mad. That's it. Yeah. Simple.
Yeah, that's why I like when everyone was getting mad at the people rioting, I understand it because people are angry.
But if they paid attention, I mean, outside of the left wing motherfuckers that starting stuff that, you know, being sent in to start stuff, there's been plenty of Caucasian brothers and sisters out there rioting along with us or marching along with us because even they tie it gets to like a point where it's like, because everybody's not racist.
Yeah.
So it gets to the point where someone who's not racist is seeing this is like, yo, what the fuck is this? Like, stop. Like, you know, y'all don't see what's wrong here? How could y'all not see what's wrong? How could you not see that there's a problem with what's going on with their people? And you're mad because they're saying their lives matter. That shit is crazy. Like, I don't get it, but at the end of the day, you know, racism starts at home. I don't believe people were born racist. They start at home. A baby is born, their mind is pure, they're innocent. You know, their soul, everything is clean. What is fed and what is taught is what it's going to manifest into once it gets older. Mm-hmm. So it starts at home, you know?
I think you're right because There's an Asian kid that goes to St. John's University, and he has white parents, so I'm assuming he was adopted or maybe something else, but he's very conservative in speaking out against Black Lives Matter and Obama and all these people, and I think it really is how you're raised. And you look at someone like Candace Owens, I mean, oh my God, like...
I'm just lost that... I'm lost for words with that sister, but I don't even want to... I don't give a fight, man. Word up. That is just different, you know. Some people just, they hate themselves without even understanding it, you know. And again, I guess she had a lot of racist friends who embraced her. Who knows? She's very intelligent. I just don't know why the intelligent thing that she says is always against her own people. And for this dude, you know, like, I don't even like saying his name. Like, I don't get it, but to each his own. We got bigger fish to fry. We cannot stay stuck on anybody that looks like us, but is not for the cause.
You're exactly right. Do you think things are going to start to get better now that we have Joe Biden in office? I think it's a better improvement than Trump. But do you think things start to get better, especially with Kamala Harris, the first female black vice president?
Well, you know, I really honestly and truly believe we have to just give it a chance and see what happens. I can't give no praise to a situation till I see them fill them shoes that they're supposed to be walking in. You know, a lot of times they give us these promises to get in the office. And then once they get in the office, shit never goes how they said and what they was going to do. It sounds good and everything, but I think it's a little too early. I mean, they haven't even gotten inside the White House yet. So it's a little too early to even decide what direction it's going to go in. And then we also got to hope, again, that we don't get 4 years. And then it turns out to be on the level it is with Dude right now. You understand? So yeah. We don't know. Well, it could start off right, but that don't mean it's going to end right. So I think it's a little early, and we just got to hope and pray things work for the best.
Mm-hmm. Another artist that you had on the album that I'm curious about asking is AZ, a hip-hop legend from Brooklyn. What is your relationship with AZ? And I heard that Doe or Die 2 is going to be coming out soon. Have you heard any of the album yet?
I heard one joint that he was I heard one joint. But I know, I just seen him doing video shoots the other day. It's probably going to come out next month, I believe. Let's get ready to drop. But, you know, no, me and AZ, we real cool, man. You know, whenever I call him, he on deck, you know, like forever. Like, he's a real stand-up guy, real good guy. Dope lyricist, man. Great individual.
Mm-hmm. Or Die is a classic album. Do you feel as though that's an overlooked album from the 90s?
I don't want to say that. Because if you was there back then, you was knocking that.
Yeah.
You understand? I would say it might be overlooked to the audience now when they mention hip-hop classics. Like, you might not hear a lot of these guys mention it. You know what I'm saying? But if you know what time it is, then you're definitely going to mention Do or Die. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a classic album. I know that it just had its anniversary this year.
Yeah, very classic, bro.
Something that I respect about you is that you open your show up to independent artists to come up there. I've had two on my show, actually, and they always say good things about you. One is David Bars, and second, Rick Hundy.
Oh, yeah. Dave Bars, he's from the Bronx. He's been to my show a couple of times. And everything. I was introduced to him by Showbiz from DRTC, Showbiz at AG, and Rick Hundy, he's a young brother from Harlem.
Yep.
Representing, name was building up, so I brought him up to let him do his thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's what I always specialize in, trying to help the up-and-coming artists, because those are the future stars. Like, when you hear brothers try to say, I broke the new Kanye West record, whatever. How the hell you break a Kanye West? Kanye West record gonna break itself? I broke Jay-Z new record. How? You know, when you take a new artist nobody knows, or got a light buzz somewhere, and you get the world to hear the music and begin to like them and understand, that's when you could really brag on it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I helped break this artist or help break his record, not somebody that's already established. You don't get no props for that. Not today. You know.
I think it's more special to break out an independent artist such as David Bars, because when he goes big, you can say that, I was the first to break out his record.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole object of being a DJ. You also discover new talent.
Yeah. Who are some other artists that you have your eyes on as far as lyrical artist-wise that you think could really make some noise out here soon?
You talking about up and coming?
Yeah.
I like Chuck Cash from Harlem. Mm-hmm. I like him. Man, there's so many different gosh, yo. Nicolette, she call herself Billboard Baby, but she's dope. She's the second artist on the Lose Control song on my project.
Yeah.
Domestic violence song. Her, man, it's a lot of young up and coming lyrical guys. I'm just a little stuck right now.
Yeah. I think female MCs are really starting to take a turn up too. I think they're really, you have Ciroc, Rhapsody, Armani Caesar. Yeah, they're really, Ciroc.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Armani Caesar.
Yeah, I know her. Rhapsody is dope too. 3D Nati.
Yep.
She's ill. 3D Nati is ill. Miss Hustle.
Yep. Lyrica Jones.
She's dope. Yeah, it's a lot of female MC. MC Scotty. Mm-hmm. She's dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of dope female artists coming out. The only thing that's messed up about female artists is that the media, every time one of them comes in the game, begins to come up, they like to turn them against each other or compare them to other female artists, and then next thing you know, it's a cat fight. It's not fair. Like, it's like almost like they only want to have one dope female sitting in that chair when there's so many of them that could help bring the game up. But as soon as one come in and start blowing up and the name get big, one thing they want to do is compare her to who's currently on top at the time. They don't do that with rap guys. They don't do that. It could be 50 dudes who's popping at one time. They don't do that, but when it comes to women, they immediately like start to play each other against each other. Oh, she's trying to sound like her. Oh, she's biting her swag. Oh, she's not doper than her. She's not gonna outsell her. Oh, she looks better than her. Oh, her butt is fatter than her. Like, it's, what does anything have to do with the music?
Nothing much, really.
Yeah, keep it to the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Let them rock, because they have to grow at the same time. And I feel as though they're always overlooked over the guys. They never get that limelight that the guys do. I think that MCs such as the Queen Latifah and Foxy Brown should be put in the category as men. They should be. They should have that right to be in there.
Yeah, but they, at this time frame now, it's popularity plays a bigger role than talent. It's a popularity contest. That's what it is. You know? It's sad, but it's true.
Yeah. Someone that you had on your show, and it was one of the most viewed interviews, I think, from your show, was Pop Smoke. Pop Smoke, that interview. Rest in peace. That's crazy, because just listening to that interview afterwards when everything went down with him, you told him, make sure you have your soldiers protect you, because if you go down, they all go down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was the second interview I did with him. The first time he was real, you know, rough around the edges. He was young, you know, off the street and everything. And I never put that interview up. I never aired it because I didn't want to put him in a bad light to his audience, because he was nuts. That was like probably one of his first or second interviews that he didn't really, you know, he was off the block. Like, you could tell. Like, I was like, nah, I ain't going. I never put that interview up. Then the second time when he came around, he's smiling, you know, giving me dap, energetic, happy to be here. It was just like a whole different individual. And, you know, even off the mic, he was like, he understood what I was saying to him the first time there. Because everything I said the first time, I repeated the second time with just a little more. But he, you can see his reaction, he understood this go round, you know? And he was really about to blow up. Like, he was on his way. And it's just so unfortunate that what happened, man. It's just sad, you know? But, you know, rest in peace, Pop Smoke, man.
Do you think, because I've heard him freestyle, and I say, if he really tried a little more, he could rap.
Yeah, like, come on, you can listen to the records he did. He could do whatever he wanted to do. Yeah, but he had his own lane. He had his feel. He had his little dance he was doing and everything, you know. Like, he had his woo movement that he had. Like, he was on his way, man. Kit was going to be the next big star.
It's a shame. And I heard you on Sway speaking about the violence that have gone that's gone on this past week with the rappers being shot. I mean, Benny the Butcher was shot in Houston. Mo 3 was killed. Uzi was shot. Yeah, it's just getting worse.
These streets don't love nobody, man. And when I was speaking, I was just speaking about this. I was speaking in general in this culture, like in the last 10 years, all the violence that's been going on, like, I just was encouraging everybody to get legal security, get legal armed security. It don't make you a punk, it'll make you a sucker, anything like that. And it security is also for crowd control. You know, that's what it really does. Like, your security controls the crowd where you could make your way in a venue, out of venue, in the store, whatever you got going on. And they really need to look into that, because the streets is dry, got this pandemic going on, some people are, you know, depressed, holidays is coming, people lost their jobs, you know, people going crazy. They need money. They're hungry.
Yeah.
Really have to be careful. Then a lot of them are envious. You know, you're walking around, you flashing money. You flashing more money on the internet screen than they've ever touched all together in their whole life. You flashing it like it's a toy. Yeah. Like, it's all just making yourself, you know, a target. And again, like, anybody could do whatever they want to do. But it's just, man, I just think the key to being successful is to be alive, to spend your money, enjoy the fruits of your labor, be able to take care of your family, and be able to be there for your family. You know, mm-hmm. You hustle all that hard and everything to come up, go visit the graveyard sooner than you're supposed to. I ain't with it.
Do you think that the violence in hip-hop is worse now than it was in the 90s with the deaths of Tupac, Biggie, and Big L? And I'm sure there were others that I just can't think of that come to mind right away.
But, you know, again, something I never really liked is when they say violence in hip-hop. Mm-hmm. Violence is violence.
Yeah.
Now, hip-hop artists will be the targets. Like, in every instant that goes down is not a rapper going at another rapper and killing them. Yeah. It should just be guys from the street, or it could just be some knuckleheads or whoever it is that see them as a target and going after them. So, I mean, that doesn't have nothing to do with hip-hop music or whatever. That's just a stick-up kid going after a celebrity.
Yeah.
You know? So, I just think situations happen and they're going to continue to happen. R&B artists get robbed.
Yeah.
Dead all the time. Like, all kind of artists get robbed. They don't say, you know what I'm saying, crime and R&B. Like, R&B, they don't say that. Violence is violence. Crime is crime. Unfortunately, a lot of artists flash more. You know what I'm saying? Carry more money with them. They show on their jewelry and all that. So they're just like, they're easier target. So hip-hop got to take that L, because they're hip-hop artists, but it's not like it's all hip-hop artists doing this to other artists. It's not always the case.
Yeah. What's sad is that I had a few rappers text me that day and just say how they're worried that if they were able to get that shot and success in the industry, what if they get shot? And they don't want it, and they're starting to think, maybe I shouldn't go into this industry, because what happens if someone gets jealous of me and then I end up like, God forbid, King Von?
Man, if you ain't built for it, then you don't need to rock with it, because ain't nothing promised. But I mean, shit, you can get shot walking to the store with your doggy. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no real place that you can say if you do this, this can happen for sure. The way this world is now, like, shit, like, you get shot or robbed going to the supermarket. Like, yep. You know? Unfortunately, the people that that happened to are not celebrities, so we're not going to hear about it. It's not going to be publicized. But every day is crime going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I just think right now people just need to be aware. If you ain't got a floss, don't floss. And pay attention to what's going on around you. You know, like I said, it's rough out here right now. You know,
it is. Rough.
And it don't look like it's gonna get better anytime soon.
I don't think so. I hope it does. For people that may not know about K-Slay, he was a big graffiti artist. You may have seen him in the documentary Style Wars. Go check that out. You had a graffiti show planned, I believe, as well as a hip-hop show planned. I know you mentioned that on Sway when you were talking about the Living Legend EP that came out, and unfortunately that didn't happen, but are you going to plan that out soon for next year, hopefully, because they're saying that things are going to get better with COVID-19?
I mean, yeah, God willing, if it does, I definitely want to do that, you know? I just want to show people a different side of the culture that I was a part of, and I was real nice with it, too.
Yep. You know? Yeah, I've seen the throwback pictures of you, like, when you were first doing it when you were young.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know, I was in it to win it. Anything that I did it to the best of my ability. There was no half-stepping with it, you know? Mm-hmm.
And graffiti has really disappeared from the culture, because you look at these old school hip hop videos, and especially Eric B. and Rakim, you always saw in the background graffiti. It's almost as though that element of hip hop isn't there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well, at the end of the day, the whole thrill of it is gone. You know, it was illegal.
Yeah.
Cats now getting permission walls and things like that, it's not the same. You know, the rush of you having all those spray cans, whether you boosted them or you took them from another artist, and then going in the train yard, sneaking in there, and you gotta watch the third rail, you gotta watch your enemies, you might have all of that whole rush of being able to pull out, you know, some dope artwork, made the game what it was. You know what I'm saying? It's none of that now. You know, guys get a permit and you paint on the wall, to come back tomorrow and finish it. It wasn't like that back then. Mm-hmm. You had this ample time to get done what you needed to get done and get up out of there before the cops might show up.
Yep.
And, you know, you had to do your best where it looked good, so people were respecting your artwork. So, yeah, you know, that's over with. That's done.
Have you ever thought of designing any T-shirts from graffiti? Because I know back in the day they had, I think it was called Shirt Kings. Was that what it was? Well, Audio 2, you saw them design the shirts.
I knew Fade and them. Yeah,
yep.
Fade and them. I knew them. They were doing that thing. I mean, yeah, you can. Some people are into it. Some people ain't. But you could come up with dope designs, too, and possibly make some good change off of it or whatever. But that's time consuming. Like, if that's your job, that's your job. That's not something that you really could, you know, be doing along with another hustle like that. It's real time consuming, you know?
Yeah. I definitely would love to see the K-Slay ones, though. I think people would definitely line up to buy them, though.
Yeah, nah, no doubt. I'm going to get them together, though. You know, I did a couple of them, but once that COVID hit, I just stopped. I was like, man, look. I need to be paying attention to what's going on out here. You know, we're not in the mood to paint nothing.
Yeah.
Real.
How was your transition to being at home, doing the show from home?
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's different because I'd rather be at the station, but
yeah.
If it's between you living and, you know, doing a show, you're going to pick living,
yeah.
And you know, making a transition any way you have to. Like, we got some shit out here killing people. They ain't know exactly what it was. I don't think they fully understand everything with it. They have an idea, and a person could just breathe on you, or you could touch something and touch your face. Nah, that was a little too much for me, so I didn't have no problem with the transition at all.
Yeah, I've only been out of my house 8 times since the last week in February. I don't try going out places.
Yeah, but, you know, if it ain't the supermarket or the post office, you know, outside of me taking care of business, that's about it. It's no, like, where you going? You're not going to no club. Everything's really shut down. Ain't no movie theaters. Like,
no.
What you going to do? Go stand on the corner? Ain't nobody doing that no more. No, like, mm-mm. So it is what it is, you know? Just rolling with the punches, man.
Rolling with the punches. Homage is available on all music platforms. Make sure you go check it out, DJ K Slay. Something that I wanted to bring up too when I've had people on my shows, they said they always say two DJs on my show, and I've had now both of you, DJ Chuck Chillout and DJ K Slay, the only DJs that really still care about the culture fully, and they still keep it real with their techniques. They don't get the CDJs. You still DJ with CDs, that some people have told me.
Yeah. I DJ with CDJs because there's no vinyl, but I don't have Serato. I still ain't used Serato yet. Never.
Yeah.
I haven't brought that, you know. I'm not knocking anybody that does do it, that knows how to DJ. If you use vinyl before and you know how to whip that and you're doing it cool, but people that just learned on Serato, that if I took the Serato away, you'd be lost in the sauce, I can't respect that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a form of cheating and shit to me. But like I said, if prior to that you knew how and you can whip them turntables, it is what it is. I respect it. But other than that, I might eventually get it just to, you know, to have it, because me being who I am, I should know how to operate that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Even though I watch people, but it's just like, really now, like, for what? Because ain't no clubs.
Yeah.
Party, where would these at? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Have you tried out Serato once to test it? Because I know Chuck Chillout told me he tried it out, and he said that he wasn't having it. He didn't like it.
I did it one time at the station for something DJ Enough was doing, some video thing he was doing. And, about a good 10 minutes into it, I was busting it down. You understand what I'm saying? But I know how to DJ regardless, so it wasn't a real thing. It's just the going back, hitting the... I was like, that's... And just, I'm used to changing the record, you know, and like that, just scrolling, hitting the... Nah, I ain't like the shit.
Yeah. Another element of hip hop that's just going away is DJing. Everyone just presses the button.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I don't really like it. You know, I like to see the real technique of it, you know. Record go off, take that record off, put the next one on, you know, like that. Ain't really used to the, you hit a button, scroll on the computer, and change the record, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Modern technology, yo.
Yeah. It's ruining a lot of good things out here. Speaking of changing records and for vinyls, are you going to have Homage available for vinyls?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I'm getting ready to call Empire and ask them when they're supposed to be coming in.
How much are they going to be, you think, for the retail price?
I'm not really sure yet. I got to have a conversation with them. That's like a whole other conversation, you know, that we got to talk about.
That's fire. I'd definitely like to purchase one of those. Where would you put it up? Would you put it on a website of yours? They would be available. Barnes & Noble. And Barnes & Noble is a big vinyl place.
Yeah, probably. It'd probably be online somewhere. However it's being done, I'm pretty sure we'd be doing it the same way.
Mm-hmm. I have an interesting question for you. Which is the top 5 must-have hip-hop albums to have on vinyl?
Said top 5 must have hip hop albums
to have on vinyl.
Have them on vinyl. See, that's a trick question, because it depends. Are you talking about if you in a club?
Oh,
talking about just having in general, because
just having in general.
Oh, definitely. 36 Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely say that. Me Against the World, Tupac, yep. Sure. Definitely 50 Cent first album.
Yep. Get Rich or Die Trying. Yep.
Die Trying, of course. It's so many, man. That's hard.
Yeah. You know,
man. That's hard.
The Great Adventures of Slick Rick.
Yeah, that's dope. That's super dope. That 5 hours is like, who else? Reasonable Doubt.
Yep.
And The Street Sweeper Volume 1.
Yeah, your own.
Right. Yep. A lot of classics on there.
Yep. I'm trying to find Kool G Raps 456. I want that on vinyl.
Yeah, I probably got all of them in my storage. I still got a lot of my old records. A lot of them I ain't get rid of. My break beats and all that, originals. We're not talking about no remakes and shit.
Yeah.
Records, you know, from the late 70s and the 80s.
The original print, not the re-releases.
Yeah. I wanted to make the fuzzy noise when you put the needle on it.
Yeah. Now you don't get that anymore. It's all digitized now. Digitalized. That's how it is right now.
Yep.
That's how it is. I want to get into a little bit of sports talk. I see you're wearing a Yankee hat. You're a Yankee fan, right?
No, I don't like baseball. I just like it because it's New York.
It's New York. What's your sport?
I ain't gonna lie. I ain't really into sports like that no more.
Yeah.
No, I like basketball, but you know, just watching it here and there. You know, when you get into your craft the way I'm into mine, you don't really have time.
Yeah.
Watch somebody run up and down the court for $100,000. You just sit there watching them and you got things to do. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not something that I really do. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, people that rock out, but me, I be busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be busy, man.
Is there anything else that you love to speak on about the album? Anything else that you want to let the audience know or?
Yo, just go get the EP, Homage, Versatility on there. A lot of different tracks, different dealing with different topics and subjects. And be on the lookout for my new project coming out in May. That's when the next EP is coming out. And I did 50 last time. This time I'm doing rolling 100D. All right? So,
ooh.
Strap up.
Oh man, that was the new one was 17 minutes. This one's gonna be the add 17 to that then.
Yeah, get your popcorn, you know, get your beverages and everything. Y'all gonna really go through a real hip hop ride. That's all I can say.
If there's one artist that you want on there that's a hip hop legend to be on this, rolling 100 deep, who would you want it to be?
Coke LaRock.
Ooh. That's a hip-hop legend.
Those that don't know who Coke LaRock is, that was the first MC of hip-hop, who was Kool Herc's MC.
That's right, yeah.
So, probably damn near 70 years old, going to say he's up there, but he's still around. And that's who I need on there.
Yep. And you heard it first here. Any upcoming visuals? Because I know you're releasing a lot of visuals for Homage.
I'm trying to decide which one between these two is going to come out. I think Man Down might come out this week. That's Juicy J, Jim Jones, Bun B, Fresher, and Pesh Mayweather. I think I might drop that one this week. Like whichever one, I'm going to watch the edits when I jump off with you and see which one I'm going to do. Either it's going to be that one or it'll be Get Busy. One with AZ. Papoose, Bun B, Benny the Butcher, Trader Truth, and Zone. It's going to be one of those two.
Yeah. And you had the sample from Ghostface Killah from Mighty Healthy. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Love the new EP, Homage. I'm looking forward to the new one. We're rolling 100 deep. That's going to be, that's really going to be history. You thought 50 was. 100 is, that's going to be wild.
Yeah, that's going to be dope, man. Real talk.
No doubt. DJ Kaslay, I want to thank you for coming on my show for an interview. I had a great time talking with you about the EP. Love to have you back when you drop that new one.
All right, definitely. I got you.
No doubt. I'm going to get you back on the gram. I'll keep in touch, and I'm going to keep spinning it on my show. And thank you for always keeping it real with the real hip hop. We need you to keep doing what you do, because I'm trying to really introduce this to the new audience out here, this young audience. They need to know about this real hip hop.
Okay. I'm with you. 100%, bro.
All right, Kaslay, I want you to take care, stay safe. Have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, you too, yo.
Yep, take care, stay safe.
All right, peace.
Peace.